Father, we love you, Lord. This is your house. This is your day. We just want to lay our lives aside, every issue, need, problem, even our pleasures. We want to lay them all aside and just come seek your presence. We want to honor you and worship you and love you today. Lord, we want to come into oneness with you. We ask you to search us deeply. If there's anything, Lord, anything preventing us coming into unity with you, please expose it and remove it, because you are our heart's desire. Please quicken your word this morning. We want our lives transformed into the image of Christ. And we just put that transformation in your hands. Come do what only you can do, God. You are good. You are God. As Harvey says, you are God and I am not. So, Lord, we ask you to come and live through us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We are going to go back over a lesson that we brought a long time ago. It just kept standing out to me. Like I have pulled about 5 or 6 really key things that God brought in the last few years. And I have them printed. I have a stack of them. And I just go through them. They're in my bathroom. So whenever I'm in there, I pick them up and I read a page or two and pray through them, put them on the bottom, go to the next one. So there's several of them that I keep going through: the Gethsemane preparation, eat my flesh, and the glory mountain. There's ones like that. I just go through the process over and over and over so they stay fresh with me, and the list of things God had spoken to us over the year before. So this one is burnt offerings. It's already on the website somewhere. I don't know what year it came from. But burnt offerings, we're going to go through that one again today. Leviticus 3:14. If you want to turn there, Leviticus 3:14. We're going to talk about the offering, when we bring an offering to God. And he shall offer, therefore, his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, that fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. He shall approach to God and draw near to him to present. And I'm going to stop there and say, what is it we're approaching to God to present to him? What is our offering? When you come to church, what is our offering? What do we bring to him? Are we bringing him praise? Are we bringing him tithes? Are we bringing him our worship? You know, what are we bringing him as an offering? Whatever is being brought to God, praise, confession, repentance, anything that we're bringing to stand in his presence. If it's in our way, we need to bring it and give it to him so it's removed out of the way. It's our offering. And then when that offering is brought, it's brought into the fire. The offering has to be tried by God's fire. Before God accepted these offerings that were brought into the temple, they had to go through the hands of the priest and through the fire that represented purifying what they brought. The fires of God will test and try the impurities of what we're bringing to him. So if you want to take that a little deeper, we bring God a confession. God, you know, I failed in this, and I didn't do this, or I said that, or did that, and I'm sorry, please forgive me. And God says, well, let's put that to the fire test. Why are you confessing it? Because I want to be right with you. Let's just go a little deeper on that confession. What was wrong with what you did? Why do I see it as wrong? Well, then we have to stop and think. It's not just about, I want to be right with God again, but it's about why that thing grieved God. What was wrong with what I did? Why did it break his heart? Why is it against the love of God? Then we began to see it in a different light. It's not only that I offended or hurt this person. Why did it hurt this person? How did it hurt this person? Our repentance begins to go through the fire, the motivation of that confession. It's only about me and I want to be right? Or does it come down to, what about the one I did it to? How do they feel? What do I do about that? how do I repair that? How did it make God feel, making it about Him? So He wants the fire to go deeper in us so that it's changing us. It's bringing us to a different level of repentance when we come, where it's not a repentance of selfishness, only about getting me out of trouble, you know. I don't want to go to the woodshed again. I don't want to go through any broken fellowship with God because I like hanging out with Him and Him hearing my prayers, you know. When it's all about me, it's a confession of selfishness. But when it goes through the fire, it becomes a true and deeper repentance coming from a heart of love. And that's what He's looking for. If we're bringing Him praise, how sincere is that praise? When we're singing that song, are we making the song true and real? Is it our prayer toward God? Or are we just like that tune? That's one of our favorites. One of Jackson's favorites is Let It Rain. I kind of said, don't you dare ask Nate to sing Let It Rain, because every time he does, we get more rain. I want any more of that kind of outdoor rain. You know, we have enough of it. I was just joking with him, but why do you love the song Let It Rain? What are we asking God to rain? You just like the melody, it feels good. He wants our praise to go through the fire. What are you doing in praise? How real is it? Is it your prayer? Is it really your heart? Are you making the song your own? So God wants to test everything through the fire. Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord, thy God, is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews 12 says our God is a consuming fire, but He's a jealous God. What does that mean, that He's a jealous God? You know, in the Bible time, a lot of the men, against God's order, had harems. They had a whole room full of wives, you know, and then they had favorites among them. I wouldn't have fit well in a harem. I'm a jealous wife. My husband better only love me. I'm not going to be one of 20 wives called on occasionally when it's his mood of the night. That's not happening in my life. Well, God is a jealous God. He won't be one of many gods in your life. If you have other things that are the priority, money, your job, your home, your friends, even your family, if you have something else that is the top priority of your life, and He's not God, He's a jealous God. So when we come in again to Him saying, you are my God, He's going to put that to the fire. Am I really your God, or are there idols in your heart? Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. There's a whole lot in that verse. First of all, the third part jumped out to me. There was a day we had 90 people in here. Recently, we've had 30. That's a third. That's a third. I don't know that we're done refining yet. When God says that I'm going to bring the third part through the fire, there are some people that come and they bring their sin and they accept God and they take His salvation, but they never really give Him their full life. They never really make Him God. They make Him Savior. Step one, they make Him Savior. I need Him to save me from my sin. I love Him for that. I thank Him for that. He is my Savior. But they don't make Him their life. They don't even make Him their Father. Some go further and they learn to know Him as Father God, who cherishes me, loves me, heals me, helps me, provides and takes care of me, and they know Him as Father. But when things start bringing the testing, when it's really getting close to the fire's getting hot, God wants to know, who will make me Lord and God of their life? Because see, now there's a different word here. He says, I am their Lord They say, the Lord is my God. Lord means master. And God is the supreme, supreme king. And when you make him your God, you're making him your supreme king. You're serving him. You've decided to make him your master, your supreme king. Give him your life. Enslave yourself to him and his purposes. And to those who do that, he brings them through the fire. If you're in the fire, thank God. Thank God that you've stuck around long enough. You're the faithful few. You're the chosen few that have stuck it and said, I'll go through the fire, though I get offended. I'll go through the fire, though I get hurt. I'll go through the fire, though it's difficult and I don't always get what I want. I'll go through the fire even if it costs me and I lose things. I'll go through the fire because you are my God. And he says, you are my people. And when you call on me, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to answer you. And you are the ones that are going to see the move of God come. You're going to be there. He's going to live through you. He's going to move through you because he can. Because we've removed the other gods. We've gone through the fire and we've burnt away those distractions and he's healed those pains. And we have become the people of God that he can trust himself to. I was discouraged this morning. I thought, okay, I know you want me to bring this, but I'm just going to stand up and read it because you quick it in if you want to, but I'm discouraged. I'm so tired of losing people. You know, we just go down, 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 losing people. And I get discouraged with that, God. Maybe we are just doing something wrong. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you just want somebody else to lead this. I don't know. But I'm discouraged. I'm tired of losing people, people going away, you know? And God said, I wrote it on my first page in here. He said, oh, first I said to him, I think he put the idea in my head, why don't you count those who are faithful instead of counting those who leave? Count the ones who stay. Count the faithful. And I started counting in my head the faithful people that are here no matter what, that I know you can depend on, God, that have stuck it out, been through some fire. I started counting the faithful few. And I said, God, thank you for the faithful few. And he said, I can do something big with a faithful few. And then I got really excited. I got encouraged. I said, you know, he had 5,000 one day, and a couple days later he had 12. Talk about people leaving. He got down to 12. What if we lose some of that 30 and we get down to 12? What if we get down to 3? It doesn't matter. The faithful few. God can do big things. But the word faithful is there. The word faithful is part of it. And we have a lot. We have a good, solid, faithful few here. Now that's really awesome. And confirmation that God was saying that this morning came when Nate said, what'd you say, Nate? What'd you tell me he told you on the way here? God told him it would be a precision group this morning. Precision group. You're a tool maker. Define precision, Harvey.
Very detailed, very exact.
Very detailed, very exact. In measurements, it wasn't even a eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch. What was it?
Like 50 millionths of an inch.
50 millionths of an inch was precision tool making. God said this morning is a precision group. Now, don't you feel, instead of saying, look at the empty seats, where are the people? Don't you feel honored and chosen to be among the precision group this morning? Woo! You want to talk about it? Come on. If you're excited, you talk about it. Yes. That creates expectation. I'm copying you so it'll get on the mic. It creates expectation. Creates expectation. Don't look at what's not happening. Don't look at who's not here. look at what is happening and who is here and what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We're going out of business because God has just made it perfectly clear that's what He wants. Shut the store part down. Go out of business. What does it mean for the building? We don't know. All we do know is God is going to do something new and different. So that's what we're telling people. They go, why are you going out of business? God's going to do something new and different. They go, what? We go, we don't know. He didn't tell us yet. Faith is getting excited about something before you see it happen. Amen. That's faith. He's told us there's a purpose, there's a reason. We're the precision group. We're the faithful few. He's going to do something big with the faithful few. So let's just get excited, even though we don't know what it is. Or how much more fire we go through before we know what it is. Pastor Harvey, what do you got?
Matthew 19:27-30.
I've got a leash.
Then answered Peter and said unto him.
You're going to address me too while you're up here. Okay, thanks.
Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Think about that. We have forsaken all.
Yes.
And followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily, of a truth I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, when he says in verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken, it means like, I remember back in 1978, I think it was, talking to a man named Mike, I won't say his last name, over in Madison Heights, Michigan, where I worked. And I talked to him about God and loving God. And he said, I love my wife first. She's above everything. He'll have to take second, or something like that. When it's talking about forsaking, it's talking about in your heart, who do you put first? Who do you put first? Okay?
Thank you.
Matthew 19:27-30.
Thank you. Sure. But I'm going to come to you. Because I'm going to keep repeating you. We're hot. It'll pick up.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say.
Speak to the mic.
Something to think about in all that is, yes, Jesus is with us, but in all that, what I see also is, see, that's you're alone there. I mean, you're making the decisions.
Yes.
This is about you. This is about your decisions. And I don't know how to explain that.
It's where you stand alone with God, no matter what.
There you go.
That too, where your character shines, or the lack thereof. But it's
right.
Where you stand alone
right.
with God.
Right.
You've made a choices and decisions, and
right.
that's it. Me and God right here.
These are the things when you're laying in bed tonight all by yourself. These are the important issues.
Amen. Right. Right.
I just want to say this. It's not about what Harvey and Sue do, or Nate does, or Pastor Glenn does, or it's
right.
about what you do.
Right.
So I'll stop here.
Except take off what you do into what you choose.
There you go.
Because our do's are really messed up.
Right.
Our choices are pretty good. Our do's are messed up. You know, I was just going over that with Harvey this morning. I'm not a greatly compassionate person. I'm not greatly compassionate even to myself. You know, I'm one of those buck up, buddy, and fight through this. And, you know, don't sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Just get the job done. That's how I treat myself. That's not how God treats me. And that's not how he treats you. But I'm not one, when you come to me with a problem, to go, oh, you poor darling, let me hug you and cry with you. I wish I could. But my brain immediately starts solving your problem, thinking, well, if I solve your problem, you don't have any reason to cry. You know? That's love, too. But I feel so bad when somebody just needs all the hugging. I want to just shove Harvey or Janiyah at him and say, hug him, you know? Go get him, and then I'll give him a solution when you're done. But I feel bad because I'm not an outgoing people person. I don't like to meet strangers. I don't want to go where crowds are that I don't know anybody. I get all insecure and shy and all that stuff. I know none of you believe it, but I'm a different person when I go where I don't know anybody. I just right back in that shell. But this is my choice. God, I can't go and be that kind of person. I can't make myself do it. I can't fake it. I can't do it. But here's my choice. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I will take you anywhere you want to go, and I will let you do anything you want to do through me. So if you want to go up to the hospital and cry over a cancer patient, you just let me know. I will go there, and then I'll say, okay, God, here we are. You rise up and do what you want to do. Now, if he wants to do it through me, I'll let him, and he frequently does. He frequently does. And when he does, I know it's him. Because I'm way outside my personality when he does that. You know, I'd be watching a movie. I was watching a movie. I don't cry over movies. I mean, when I married him, I thought, oh, my gosh. He's just weeping and weeping over a movie. And I'm going, what am I going to do? You know, this is my husband. And I wasn't used to that kind of crying. My home wasn't like that. I don't cry over movies. And I would tell him, you do know this is a movie. They're acting. I can't cry over acting. It's not real, you know. Oh, good actor. I can say, oh, yay, good job. But when the movie portrays something that is true, like I saw a movie and there was a lady in it who was dying. Now, she was acting, but the real lady, the real true story that it was about, the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me. And I just started this weeping inside of me. And I go, what is wrong? And he said, that woman. And he started telling me what that woman did in her real life that grieved him and how she died and went to hell. And God was grieved over the real story. Now, I was all grieved. I mean, you would have thought that woman was my own child. I was just loving her and grieved for her. But it was God in me. It wouldn't have been in me. She's a stranger. I didn't even know her. So you don't need to feel you have to do anything that you can't do. Just take God where he wants to go. He's living in you, and give him permission through you to do what he wants to do. So it's a choice. It's that choice of where you stand in choice. When God tells me, I want you to go to this funeral and love the people, and I go, God, you know you're going to have to do it, but you said go, I'm going, and I just show up.
Right.
I just show up. If he does something, he does something. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But I can't expect me to be different than who I am. So there's not a pressure on us doing. You know, doing is the other religions. How good can we be? How do we serve God by doing everything? We serve a God who just wants to let him live through us, in spite of our failures. The faithful few, you know, when he said the faithful few, it wasn't the capable few. It wasn't the awesome few. It wasn't the qualified few, the talented and gifted few. He didn't choose those. He chose those who were despised and the base and rejected. He chose us. I don't know what's the matter with God, why he goes around choosing people like us. But he's God and we're not. He likes us. Isn't that an awesome thought? One time when I wasn't liking myself so much, and we keep hearing, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Yeah, like my daddy loves me, my mama loves me, like they have to, you know, because I'm their kid. But we went and we heard a sermon that said, God likes you. And I went, He likes me? I knew He loved me. I didn't figure He liked me. He likes you. He likes you. He made you just like you are, and He likes you. That's pretty cool. I honestly, sometimes I wonder if anybody else does like me. Because I seem to make a good track record of seeing I can offend somebody every day. You know? Seems like every day, whether I try hard not to, but I manage to offend somebody every day. And I'm always, you know, that discouraged me this morning too. It's like, you know, God, I try to be kind. I really do. But then I try to obey You and also say and do the confrontations and the things that You tell me to do. But it seems like all I do is hurt and offend people all the time. I get really tired of it, and I just want to shut up and say nothing. But I made a choice that I'm going to obey Him, even if nobody likes me. I'm still going to obey Him. So it's choice. I love that Nate brought that up, because it's our choice. Do you want to be one of the few faithful few? You know, I think you do, because you're here today. I think you do. Go ahead.
Read one verse.
Sure.
What you just said.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8, verse 36. Dear Holy Spirit, please give, please make this alive, pop in our belly. As it is written, for Thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He wants us to be willing to lose our life so that He can live His life through us. That means we have to die daily. We have to die to our wants, our feelings, our ways, our thoughts. And it's like, are you willing to lay your life down so He could do what He wants and suffer the rejection, suffer the persecution, suffer the misunderstanding? You want to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You don't want to offend. Woe unto him by whom offenses come. Okay? But it's like you keep it so that you're keeping a smile on His face. All the people out here aren't going to necessarily keep a smile. When God worked through her years ago to begin confronting me, because she'd always given me my way. I was King Harvey, okay? And she would always give me my way because she thought by serving me, she was serving God. Because religious mentality, if I please Him, I'm pleasing God. If I don't please Him, I'm not pleasing God. And so I have to have the best seat. I have to have the best everything. I just do whatever He says. No, I don't want to watch another 14,000 movie of John Wayne. But because Harvey says so, I won't even tell him that I won't. Yes, dear. Okay. So when God had her start confronting me against her nature, I didn't like her. We went through a whole year. And I told her, I don't like you. Now, but God had to go to this extreme for a year because I'm a knucklehead. And to get through, I had to not like her for a year. And she had to suffer that. But I was in the wrong. But she had to suffer it for Christ's sake. All day long, we are killed for Thy sake. That's where we're talking about going deeper.
You know, it talked about being sheep that are like sheep that are slaughtered. It reminds me of something DBJ shared with me. And then I read a news article about it, that this whole bunch of sheep the wolves were after, they all came together. So they were in a big team. Then they went in the middle of the road and they played dead. Yeah, and they played dead. They laid in the road and played dead. Cars would miss them and go around. The wolves would not come out in the road. So playing dead saved their life. And I'm like, okay, we can be like a bunch of dumb sheep, just get in a group and play dead. You know, let God do it. Let God take care of us. Sheep that were slaughtered. Yeah.
What Harvey was talking about, there was a significant thing that set in all of that, and that was our nature. So we're warfaring against the nature of flesh.
Right.
It
is that the flesh wars against the spirit all the time. We're in a battle of our flesh fighting against the Spirit and what the Spirit is wanting to do in our life.
It's making a choice.
Right.
For us to die.
When, you know, I keep thinking, God, can we get into inner healing yet? And he goes, no, we're not ready yet. We're not quite ready yet. But you do know an inner healing is based on truth. It cannot be based on self-pity or deception. There is forgiveness. There's repentance. There's so much involved as we go through inner healing. There's defense systems that have to come down. There is so much. So we have not made these decisions. I am going to be willing to let this fire of God reveal the true condition of my heart, my thoughts. Seek out all the pride, the selfishness, the hiding. Seek all of that out. Because the fire will come after pride and selfishness, anger, bitterness, revenge, hate, greed, fear, judgment, stubbornness, rebellion, denial, excuses, hiding, coveting, insecurity, jealousy, laziness, cold-hearted indifference, neglect, blame-shifting, accusations, expectations. Fire will leave when it burns all those things. And you know, it burns those things through in one issue. And then it goes after burning it in another issue. And then another issue. One issue at a time. And then it will leave truth, mercy, love, all the character of God, nothing of the devil. Because love will overcome and heal and restore, and then it will conquer. It will conquer everything that was holding us in that area. I want to give you one more verse on our beginning verse, Leviticus 3:14. I want to say that verse again. Because Leviticus 3:14 says, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. First of all, what you're bringing to God, allow him. Bring it. As you offer it, say, God, please put this in the fire. Please put it in your fire. I am trying to learn that even when I repent, that I say to God, please put this repentance to the test of your fire, because it's probably shallow. I'm very quick to not want to be in trouble, but I'm even quicker to not want to lose your fellowship. So please test this repentance with your fire. Refine it, purify it, and get to the depth of it. So it will be brought, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. That fat that covers the inward parts, all the fat that is upon the inward parts, think about all that fat, the removal of the fat, the covering of our inward parts. There is so much covering our inward parts. We have to be open, vulnerable, deeply honest, and not hide anything. That's burning away the fat. We need to invite the Lord to go deeper. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know, David, when he prayed this prayer, he was saying, search me and tell me if I have something wicked, because I don't even know. I could be self-deceived. I could be justifying myself, putting fat on top of my inward parts, covering myself up with something to keep me safe. Next week, we're going to talk about the walls, the defense systems that also build covering on our inward parts. Does anybody else, you know, we got a lot of sharing going on. Anybody else want to share something? Got more to say?
More?
Yeah, come on. Right on the board. Click, click, picture, throw it up on the internet. I wish. I want to back up so I can see it, but I want to stay up close so I can hear it. Are you willing to be expendable? I love that word. You brought us that word after a vision about a year ago, Nate, and I never forgot it.
I have an English lesson here. You as the subject,
You as a subject.
As a verb, that means as an action.
Okay. Come here. Yep. Let me show you. Say it. Say it. Explain it.
What?
What?
I was just going to say you is a subject word, and willing is an action word. So that's something.
But I like the word expendable. He brought that out of a vision about a year ago. Do you realize any one of us, we're expendable? That means we think we're worth so much that nobody else could stand in our place or position. But if we don't stand in it, God could put someone else in it, you know? Don't be expendable. My son works for Chrysler, and he does not have a direct hire. You have a direct hire, you're in, and you got it. You've got union behind you. You got paid vacation, insurance. It's awesome. He's been there probably 25 years as a contract. They get to pay him a little less, give him a little less, and use him to the max. But he's not expendable because he does a unique job in the computer department that he perfected this job to where he can do it as fast as three other men would take to do it. Now, they've asked him to train other people. And when he does, he trains them to do it the old way, and it would take three of them to do it. He doesn't train them his way because he doesn't want to be expendable. So he's so valuable, they can't get rid of him. It was bought out by Germans. They tried to get rid of as many Americans and bring in their German friends. This is all on tape. I'll probably get in trouble. But they can't get rid of John because he made himself valuable. He is not expendable. They can't replace him cheaper or easily to do what he does. When you do what God has designed you to do, and you know, they talk about when we're putting a ministry together, God considers it like laying a foundation and then building a wall of bricks. And each brick fits exactly where it belongs. So whatever he designed you to do and where you should fit, when he puts your brick in place and you function like you should, you're not expendable. But when you cease to function, God can always pull a brick out, set it over here and say, because this brick is defective and will not allow me to fix it, I have to put a different brick in. It's not his desire. It's like plan B, you know? So we don't want to make ourselves, but we are expendable. If we do not do what God created us to do, we are expendable. Now, I don't know if that's what you meant by that word.
I really didn't.
You didn't. Are you willing to die? Oh, you expend when you die. Yeah, that's right. You're done when you die, too. Are you willing to die?
But you know what? If you're willing to die, then you're not expendable. You see what I'm saying? Because what I'm saying is you're making yourself valuable because you're willing to do what others are not willing to do.
But being willing to die also means my life is expendable. God can take it out if he wants. I'll die for the cause. Yes, that's another explanation of it, and that's good.
Your plans.
Put all your plans, your agendas, your life, everything aside for the glory of God.
What, in other words, and let me give you an application in my life of what God has done with that. God, you told me I'm going to preach, I'm going to reach millions of people, blah, blah, blah. But God, here I am. You told me that I'm on a back shelf, I'm a prophet hidden in a cave, keeping a low profile, everything. I say, God, if this is how you want to spend my life,
that's it.
If this is how you want to spend my life, it's okay. And if I never get to what you told me, I trust you. Because in Hebrews chapter 11 at the end, these all, having died in faith, not having received the promises. Go read it.
That, so that brings it down to, are you willing to be spent for God?
For God's purpose.
For God's purpose. Will you let God spend your life for Him? There's a lot of meanings to that word. Got to get it in the right context of how you meant it. This is your word, so you explain your word.
But you're expendable in the sense of, like, see, I wanted to be this, but Lord, I'm willing to be the kid hiding in a cave until you to accomplish your glory. So you're expendable to an idea of yourself and what you want and where you think you want to go and where you think your family should be and where you think, you know, everybody likes me and all this stuff. So that's what I mean. You're expendable to those ideas of you.
Anybody else want to add to that or something? Anything? Any comments? Questions? Go home and study the word expendable. Jesus, we just love you. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you you like us. And we thank you that you want us and you've chosen us. We want to be your faithful few. We just thank you, love you, and ask you to just continue pouring yourself out here today. Amen.